Well, this week I was walking home when a speeding car came hurtling down the road, well above the speed limit. It ploughed straight through the red light. It mounted the pavement. Other vehicles hit the brakes. They took evasive action. Pedestrians stayed well out of the way. Thankfully, no one was hurt. And yet, after the car had sped off out of sight, usual activity resumed. It was as if nothing had happened. No one really batted an eyelid. Why was that? Well, because in what I've said so far, I have left out vital details, which is that that car had a blue flashing light on top and it said ambulance along the side. The law does say that cars mustn't go above 20 miles an hour in the borough of Hackney. Vehicles must stop at a red light. They are not to be driven on the pavement. And yet, did that speeding car break the law? No. Now, in today's passage, Jesus encounters people who haven't realised what is really going on. Because, so to speak, they hadn't seen the flashing blue light. They hadn't seen what makes all the difference. So turn with me to our next instalment in Matthew chapter 12 on page 984. Matthew chapter 12, beginning to read at the first verse. At that time, Jesus went through the cornfields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry, and they began to pluck ears of corn and to eat it. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said to him, "Look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath." He said to them, "Have you not read what David did when he was hungry, and those who were with him? How he entered the house of God and ate the bread of the presence, which it was not lawful for him to eat, nor for those who were with him, but only for the priests. Or have you not read in the law how on the Sabbath the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are guiltless? I tell you, something greater than the temple is here. And if you had known what this means, 'I desire mercy and not sacrifice,' you would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." So remember last week, at the end of Matthew chapter 11, we heard those astounding words from Jesus, the offer he makes. "Come to me, all who labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And by rest there, we thought Jesus is using language usually associated with the Sabbath. Now, say the word Sabbath today, and many who know what you're talking about immediately think restrictive. A day to be endured, not enjoyed. But in the Bible, the Sabbath is a blessing. It is a gift from God. It is a privilege for God's people. And it really mattered. So much so, as we know, the instructions were included in the 10 foundational commandments. So it's not surprising, really, that after Jesus speaks of rest at the end of chapter 11, the theme carries on into chapter 12. And this incident we read about takes place on the Sabbath. So Jesus and his disciples were on this Saturday afternoon stroll through the cornfields. And it all sounds innocuous enough, but as we heard, not everyone is happy. Verse 2, when those Pharisees saw it, they said to Jesus, "Look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath." I mean, before we dive in, it's worth taking a step back and thinking and realizing, isn't it, what were the Pharisees doing? They must have been looking out for Jesus and his disciples. So that is, the Pharisees were on a surveillance operation. Remember, they were here looking for some incriminating material. And they think that's just what they have found, as they see these disciples plucking those ears of corn and nibbling them. Well, that's work, say the Pharisees. That is breaking the Sabbath law. And of course, these disciples are disciples of Jesus, so he must be behind it, so they demand from him an explanation. Now, a moment's thought probably tells us that Jesus could have actually given quite simple, straightforward reasons to account for his disciples' actions. The disciples were fishermen and tax collectors. They weren't farmers. And anyway, you could never really call this reaping. Plucking a few ears of corn is hardly that. So no, the disciples aren't working. The Sabbath law is not broken. But that's not how Jesus chooses to respond. Because he has much more to say. He wants to highlight the big picture of what is going on, which the Pharisees have missed or are intentionally ignoring. And we'll find the reasons Jesus gives to account for his disciples' behavior turn out to be astonishing claims about himself. The first is that Jesus is God's king. Jesus is God's king. I don't know if you follow the celebrity news, but recently a well-known public figure was spotted behind the wheel driving a car on the roads without having a valid driving license. Was the law broken? No. Because of the identity of the driver. The driver was the Queen, the only person in the UK permitted to drive without a license. And so look down to verse 3. Jesus said to them, "Have you not read what David did when he was hungry and those who were with him? How he entered the house of God and ate the bread of the presence, which it was not lawful for him to eat, nor for those who were with him, but only for the priests." Now this event is recorded for us in 1 Samuel 21. We heard it in our Old Testament reading. At that point, David has been anointed king by Samuel, but he hasn't yet ascended the throne. In fact, he's on the run from King Saul with his band of men. And they were in need of sustenance, so they entered the house of God, or here the tabernacle, and that was there just outside Jerusalem. And they ate what was called the bread of the presence, which was only for the priests to eat. And so in a sense, it was not lawful for non-priests to eat it. And yet, all those who read the scriptures, the Old Testament, didn't condemn David and his companions for what they did. Why not? Because here was God's anointed king. Now you might say, well, how does that help Jesus' case? Well, only, of course, if he and his disciples have a similar argument for not breaking the law. That is, the argument only works if Jesus is an anointed king like David, which, of course, is exactly what Jesus is claiming. He was saying, if it's okay for David, it's okay for me. Now, we know, reading Matthew, this is hardly a new theme. The opening line of Matthew's gospel tells us that Jesus is the son of David, gives us that genealogy to prove it. Then the angel tells Joseph that he's in the line of David, all those things. Then the grown-up Jesus, we've seen Jesus claiming to be this king numerous times. Words and actions that prove he is the one. The Pharisees by now should have realized it, but they claim that they haven't. So, Jesus' behavior is acceptable, the disciples' behavior, because Jesus is God's king. The second reason is that Jesus is greater than the temple. Jesus is greater than the temple. So we've reached verse 5. "Or have you not read in the law how on the Sabbath the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are guiltless?" So again, Old Testament history at the tabernacle and then the temple. There were tasks, of course, that needed to be completed, even on the Sabbath day. For example, changing the bread of the presence. And the priests in the tabernacle and then the temple would do this. And in a sense, that is to profane the Sabbath, which is to work on it. But if anyone was to claim the priests were breaking the Sabbath law, well, that would be rejected, because the temple was so great. That justified those actions being done on the Sabbath day. Verse 6, "I tell you," says Jesus, "something greater than the temple is here." And of course, Jesus is making a claim about himself, and it's staggering. Maybe we don't appreciate it because the temple doesn't have the same place in our thinking. But here is the building at the heart of Israel's life, where God dwelt symbolically. There, God's glory had been revealed, the meeting place between God and humanity. And Jesus is asking those Pharisees, haven't they realized? Standing before them is one greater than the temple itself. So, Jesus is God's king. He's greater than the temple. His third reason why he can account for his disciples' actions is that Jesus brings what is needed. He brings what is needed. Verse 7. And if you had known what this means, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless. Now notice what Jesus finally says there at the end of verse 7. The disciples were guiltless. They hadn't broken the Sabbath law at all. As we thought, Jesus could have said that in the first place. But he wanted to give more reasons, which we've heard. And here is a third one. He quotes, doesn't he, from the prophet Hosea, I desire mercy and not sacrifice. I wonder if you remember, that's not the first time Jesus quoted these words in Matthew. It was back in chapter 9 when the Pharisees had issues with the company Jesus was keeping for dinner. Jesus had said to them, go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. And now, 3 chapters later, it's fair to say they haven't learnt the lesson. And in fact, we can imagine here the Pharisees are now seething. Because look how Jesus begins, verse 7. If you had known what this means. The Pharisees supposedly were the experts in the scriptures, widely respected, and Jesus says they haven't got it at all. Well, why is that? Well, the details of the law, the sacrifices, the rituals, and all the rest were for people's good. Of course they were. They were from God, and they should have been kept. And yet all of those come, of course, in the context of the whole Old Testament. And so if someone is concerned merely about the details of regulation keeping, they can do that with the whole time they miss the point. Because what is the Old Testament about? It's about a compassionate and merciful God, one who acts and does what is necessary for the good of the people, for those who don't deserve it. And it makes no sense to be supposedly concerned for details of Sabbath observance when right in front of you a great work of mercy is taking place. So, of course, as Jesus is saying this, again, he is making a claim about himself. He is saying, don't you realize what I am doing, why I am here? He is here on a mission of mercy. If you like, the Pharisees had missed the flashing blue light of what Jesus was doing. Here was the king coming in fulfillment of all the scriptures to bring about what those very scriptures had made plain was desperately needed, which was mercy from God. That's what the whole human race needed. That's what we need. You see, if Jesus can make that wonderful offer, come to me and I will give you rest, he couldn't just give it. He had to make that possible, which he did ultimately, of course, by that mission going to his death on a cross. So if the Pharisees knew their Bibles, they would have seen this. In fact, more than that, if they cared about people, they would have been thrilled that at last, here was Jesus coming to show God's mercy. It's worth saying, isn't it? Still today, it can be the most religious people who haven't got the first idea of what Jesus is about, that he's come to show mercy to those who don't deserve it, but desperately need it, like us. We are utterly dependent on him. And that then brings us to our fourth and final reason Jesus gives to explain his disciples' behavior. And in fact, this is not so much one reason as the ultimate reason that all the others are true, which is that Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath. We've already heard Jesus make breathtaking claims that he's God's promised king, that he's greater than the temple, that he is on God's mercy mission. And it's all summed up now with this staggering claim of verse 8, for the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. Again, we might miss the weight of what Jesus is saying if we aren't as familiar with the scriptures. Those opening chapters of Genesis tell us the Creator Lord God rested on the seventh day. The Lord God then blessed that day. He set it apart. The seventh day was his day. And now here comes Jesus, the Son of Man, God's King, claiming that he is Lord of the Sabbath. He is claiming to be that very Lord God. And not only that, even more. Think again of his language earlier. Come to me, all who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He is saying God's design back then was that humanity would share in that rest of God, the blessing of that seventh day. We know all too well how humanity blew it. Well, Jesus is now saying there is a way back to that rest. That's why he's come on this mercy mission. He had to go to his death and resurrection. But because he did, he can now offer the Sabbath rest to come and enjoy what we were made for with him forever. So, quite a Saturday afternoon. No doubt when Jesus went on that walk, he knew he was being watched. Maybe even he went on that walk knowing what it would lead to. He knew full well there was nothing wrong with the disciples picking those ears of corn. Jesus could have said to them, hold off for now, we'll have food later. But no, he wanted to give the reasons for why that was more than acceptable. It was necessary to show people who he is and what he was doing. Jesus is God's promised king, like David, but better. Jesus is greater even than the temple. And in all of this, he is on the mercy mission from God, because he is the Lord of the Sabbath. Well, let's pray as we close. Thank you, Father, for the greatness of your Son, and thank you for showing that to us this morning. We do praise you that he is the King, your King, with all authority in heaven and on earth. We praise you there is a place where we can meet with you in Jesus. And we thank you for all you did to make this possible, for your mercy demonstrated in Jesus' coming and in his death for us. We do praise you that because of what Jesus did, we can share in this Sabbath rest with you forever. Amen.